You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Carl Stern here for WrestlingObserver.com, FigureFourOnline.com, and for the Patreon supporters over at WhenItWasCool.com. That's my website. Thank you very much for joining me here on our rotation of classic wrestling audio shows. We're back around to the long-form history of pro wrestling. And that's where I take a month in wrestling history, and we examine everything that happened that month. We do this chronologically. We're up to April of 1983. I've roughly covered, at this point, about over 100 years worth of pro wrestling. If you want to hear some of the other shows in this series, do go over to whenitwascool.com and check out the long form history of pro wrestling tab, and you'll see where we go all the way back to the pioneer era of wrestling. So, yeah, a little over 100 years worth of wrestling we've been talking about in detail, and we're up to a time period now where I had started watching wrestling myself. I was a big fan of wrestling. Southeastern Championship Wrestling, which was my home area, was absolutely on fire. Bob Armstrong was a heel. He was having a tremendous run. It was just good stuff. I was buying all the newsstand magazines and just really immersed in pro wrestling. And look, you know, in the next year or two, it's going to get even bigger and bigger. Hulk Hogan will win the WWF Championship in January of 1984. The boring Bob Backlund era will finally come to an end in late 1983. Just all kinds of great fun stuff going on. It was a great time to be a wrestling fan. So let's see what April of 1983 has in store for us here. First off, if you want to follow along and read along and maybe research some of this yourself, I encourage you to go to whenitwascool.com, go to the Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling Zone, go down, scroll down to get to 1983, click that button, and then scroll down to April of 1983, and there you'll see a cover shot of the April 1983 issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine. This magazine wouldn't have been on the newsstand in April of 1983. It's just cover dated that. These magazines were dated, about 3 months or so ahead of time. So this magazine would have came out probably in February or March, January or February of 1983. And adorning the front cover, pretty much dominates the entire cover, is one international superstar, Mil Máscaras. He is a favorite of senior editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Bill Apter. And even though Bill Apter didn't own or run the Weston family of TV sports magazines, he was the senior editor and he was the person most associated with the magazine. So it's no surprise that one of his favorite wrestlers gets a lot of cover time in here. And so Mil Máscaras is on there, and the cover says exclusive Mil Máscaras home address. Well, I highly doubt that. He says how you can write to him and save his career. Well, it must have been a successful campaign, because here we are in 2022 and still periodically the near 80-year-old Mil Máscaras trots out and has some degree of a match even all this time later. So good job. Apparently you all wrote to him and saved his career. Also in this magazine was a full cover pinup of superstar Billy Graham, who is full-fledged in his Kung Fu Billy gimmick at this point in time. The cover also says the Crippler claims another victim. Ray Stevens pile drives Jay Strongbow. U.S. title in disgrace. Valentine humiliates Wahoo. This being, of course, Greg Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel. So let's start our month off. Our first date we have notes for is April the 3rd, 1983, and we have three notes for it there. Now, to be included in my Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling timeline, we're looking for notes of historic importance. That would be things like title changes or deaths or births or major out-of-the-ring incidents or just interesting tidbits. We do include show results for shows with a verified attendance of 5,000 people or more, or, you know, has some other sort of historical significance. So on April 3rd, 1983, we're going to start at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. And while I don't have a exact attendance for that, one can assume it was over 5,000 people in attendance there. Plus, you've got the world champion in action. NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair defeated Tony Atlas by disqualification. Larry Zbysko, who's pretty new to the area, defeated Tommy Rich. Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes, yes, the old Texas Outlaws, are back together again as they defeat the Iron Sheik and Ivan Koloff. The Masked Superstar Bill Eady defeats Buzz Sawyer by DQ. And over at When It Was Cool Today, I dropped a review of the April 1983 issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Yes, the Wrestling Observer was being printed monthly here in 1983. David put out an issue, and in it he talks about how they just sort of turned the Masked Superstar. He's just started wrestling the heels of the area, and it doesn't seem, at least the way Dave describes it, that there was, you know, any just big, huge angle for that. But it's interesting to see Masked Superstar, facing... No, I mean, that would have been a heck of a match, right? Masked Superstar against Buzz Sawyer goes to a DQ with Masked Superstar winning. That's going to be a hard-hitting match. Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson teaming together defeated Brian Blair and Tito Santana. And Killer Tim Brooks defeated Brett Wayne. That is, of course, the brother of Buzz Sawyer. He would later be known as Brett Wayne Sawyer. They're even going to do an angle in Georgia where they introduce him as Buzz's legitimate brother. And finally, Paul Ellering defeats Joe Lightfoot. Also on April 3rd of 1983 in San Antonio, Texas, the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony under mask, won the Southwest Tag Team titles, beating Mondo Guerrero and Bob Sweetan in the finals of a tournament. Also on April 3rd, 1983, New Japan Pro Wrestling in Tokyo at Sumo Hall, and I don't have an attendance for that, but unquestionably it was above the 5,000 mark. For this show, we have several stars from the United States there. We have the weird tag team of Playboy Buddy Rose and Ed Leslie. Yes, he'd been wrestling as Dizzy, Ed Hogan, Eddie, or Ed Leslie. He's the future Brutus Beefcake. Number of gimmicks, actually. Yes, Buddy Rose and Ed Leslie. What a weird team. They team up to beat Osamu Kido and Ryuma Go. Paul Orndorff is in New Japan. Paul Orndorff beats Animal Hamaguchi. Masa Saito and Killer Khan beat C.G. Sakaguchi and Kingo Kimura. Kuniaki Kobayashi battled Dynamite Kid to a double countout. And this match was for the vacant WWF Junior Heavyweight title. Riki Choshu beat Tatsumi Fujinami to win the WWF International title. And Antonio Inoki pinned Rusher Kimura. The next day, this would have been a Monday, April the 4th, 1983, in Memphis, Tennessee at the Mid-South Coliseum. Now, as we've talked, you know, basically every show, if you've just come along, Mid-South Coliseum, their attendance varied greatly. It would be, the sellout was around, 10,100, 10,500 or so. And depending on really what Jerry Lawler was doing and who Jerry Lawler was working with, influenced a lot how many people were at the show. It could be as few as just 3,000 or 4,000, as low as that, or as many as a sellout. This one, interesting enough, has a world title match that Jerry Lawler's involved in. He had appeared in Memphis to have won the AWA world title back in the at the end of 1982. That title change wasn't really recognized anywhere else. And here in Memphis, even they kind of skirted around the issue, even though they announced Jerry Lawler on TV for a few weeks as AWA World Champion. It was kind of rescinded in a way where it was, quote, held up. It was very, they were very dubious about whether he was ever AWA world champion. But this show only draws just a little over half a house, 6,716. So you could see, I think, residual effects from having this very nebulous AWA world title change previously with Lawler and Nick Botwinkle. So your show here, and it's a pretty good sized show, Carl Fergie beat Sonny King by DQ. Duke Myers pinned Bobby Fulton, a future member of the Fantastics. Bobby Eaton, future member of the Midnight Express, went to a draw with the masked wrestler Ace of Spades, who was Tommy Gilbert under a mask. The Blues Brothers, or the Bruise Brothers, rather, Porkchop Cash and Dream Machine, who is Troy Graham, beat Dutch Mantel and Steve O. The Mid-America Champion, Stagger Lee, and no, this isn't Junkyard Dog here in Memphis. This is Coco Ware, doing, basically stealing the gimmick, same way he had recently been stealing Sweet Brown Sugar gimmick, who Skip Young had been doing that down in Florida. Now he's stealing the Stagger Lee mask gimmick. He beat Giant Frazier in a mask versus title match for $1,000. And Giant Frazier was, of course, Uncle Elmer Stan Frazier. The Galaxians, which you would probably know better as the Nightmares, Ken Wayne and Danny Davis, beat the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, in a match where the Galaxians' masks were at stake. Terry Taylor beat the Southern Champion Bill Dundee by DQ in a match with two referees. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, your classic Moondog lineup there, beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, to win the Southern Tag Team titles. And in your main event, the AWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Botwinkle beat Jerry Lawler by DQ. So a couple days later here, April the 7th, 1983, Jerry Lawler is going to be wrestling Nick Botwinkle again on the circuit, this time in Lexington, Kentucky. And this time he beats Nick Botwinkle, but by disqualification. April the 8th, 1983, the AWA is in Denver, Colorado. And so what's happening there in the AWA proper? Well, we have Jerry Blackwell beating Brad Reagans. Rick Martel beat Sheik Adnan El-Casey. Baron Von Raschke teams with Hulk Hogan and Mad Dog Vachon in a six-man tag team match to beat Ken Patera, Jesse Ventura, and Bobby Heenan. And they did this match a lot around the circuit here. And then the AWA World Heavyweight Champion, yes, he's gone from Lexington, Kentucky to the next day. He's in Denver, Colorado. Nick Botwinkle beats Wahoo McDaniel. The very next day, April the 9th, 1983, yep, your Texas Outlaws are together again. Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch announced on Georgia Championship Wrestling Television that they are formally, officially reforming the Texas Outlaws tag team to challenge both the Iron Sheik and Ivan Koloff. On April 9th, 1983, we have the WWF is in Baltimore, Maryland at the Civic Center. The attendance, a very good one, of 12,040 people. Bob Bradley beats Mac Rivera. Mac Rivera, of course, would go on. Probably best remembered as Jose Luis Rivera, a regular TV enhancement wrestler in the 1980s. Pete Sanchez beats Jose Estrada. Salvatore Bellomo defeats Charlie Fulton. Johnny Roz defeats Baron Mikhail Cicluna. Mr. Fuji beat SD Jones. And again, how many times have we talked about for seemingly years now how terrible these WWF undercards were? They were just, you know, enhancement wrestler versus enhancement wrestler about the whole first half of the show. Just excruciating to watch. I don't see how this group drew as many people as they did with some of the abysmal undercards they had. Little Poncho and Butch Cassidy beat Tiger Jackson and Sonny Boy Hayes in your little person's match there. Rocky Johnson pinned Ray Stevens. The WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco defeated Pedro Morales by DQ. And I mentioned it when I covered the April 1983 Wrestling Observer newsletter over on the When It Was Cool Patreon that Dave has turned the corner on Don Morocco. Okay, he's been kind of a fan or you know at least appreciative of Don Morocco for quite a while now, but now he's turned the corner. He's he's dogging Don Morocco as being lazy and not really putting anything into his matches anymore. So it's really interesting to see kind of Dave turn the corner on Don Morocco during this month here in 1983. And I couldn't imagine Don Morocco in this period versus Pedro Morales. Oh my gosh, that's just, that sounds like one of the most boring things you'd ever want to see. Jimmy Snuka pinned superstar Billy Graham, and WWF champion Bob Backlund pinned Big John Studd in a Texas death match with Swede Hansen as the guest referee. Oh my gosh, you're talking about pouring tar and molasses on a match. Like literally grass, I'm sure, would grow faster than April 1983, shaved head, slow motion, rest hold Bob Backlund against Big John Studd with Swede freaking Hansen is the guest referee. And somehow, some way, they got 12,040 people to come out and see this match. That just shows you how on the ascension WWF is, and boy, are they going to be. A year from now, a year from this date, the world has changed. It's just amazing to see. April the 10th, 1983, Johnny Weaver defeated Leo Burke to win the North American title at the Toronto, Canada Maple Leaf Gardens. On the same show, NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeated Roddy Piper by DQ. April the 11th, 1983, so we're back around to Monday, and we got three notes for you here. In Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, shows draws about the same. Plus, we got the world champion back in town. So, Jerry Lawler and Nick Bockwinkel by April of 83 are only drawing a little over half a house, 6,366 people. We see Duke Myers beat Bobby Fulton. Porkchop Cash and Dream Machine beat Steve O and Carl Fergie. The Galaxians, again, that's the Nightmares, beat Rock and Roll Express in a Texas Tornado match. And again, the Galaxians mask were at stake, so they must have got away with their mask sometime last week. The Southern champion Bill Dundee battled Dutch Mantel to a double countout. Our Coco Ware Stagger Lee version and Terry Taylor beat Giant Frazier and Jimmy Hart and Bobby Eaton in a handicap hair versus hair match, which saw big Giant Stan Frazier, Uncle Elmer, getting his head shaved. The Southern Tag Team Champions, the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, beat the Fabulous One, Steve Kern, and Stan Lane. And your main event, Jerry Lawler, this time beats AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel, but by DQ in a match where there was no referee in the ring. Now, on this same Monday night, if you traveled down the road about 4 hours or so to Birmingham, Alabama, to the Battle Auditorium, we would have saw Bob Armstrong as a heel at this time beat the babyface Ken Lucas, who had just come out of Southwestern Wrestling, to win the NWA Southeastern title in Birmingham. And then further, even still on down the road in West Palm Beach, Florida, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair is in town, and he beat Dusty Rhodes by DQ. On the 12th, April the 12th, 1983, up in Louisville, yes, Nick Bockwinkel and Jerry Lawler do their second week in Louisville. Jerry Lawler again beats Nick Bockwinkel by DQ again in Louisville, Kentucky. Same date, April 12th, 1983, in Tampa, Florida, at Fort Hesterly Armory, NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair defeated Big Daddy by DQ. Yes, Big Daddy, the gigantic, huge superstar from the UK, has shown up in Tampa, Florida. Well, no, hang on a minute. Not that Big Daddy. No, this was a guy named Steve DiBlasio. And so Steve DiBlasio's time in wrestling wouldn't be a real long time, and also probably not the best name to have chose to be working under. But yes, if you are ever asked in a trivia question, did Ric freaking Flair ever meet Big Daddy? The answer is yes, just not in the way you think. That's a what a terrible thought that is. April the 13th, 1983. We're going down to Mid-South this time on a Mid-South television taping at the Irish McNeil's Boy Club in Shreveport, Louisiana. The tag team of Ted DiBiase and Mr. Olympia. Mr. Olympia, of course, my favorite wrestler of the time period. Jerry Stubbs under a mask. He was a regular in Southeastern wrestling. In fact, he's going back and forth kind of between making some fairly regular appearances in Southeastern Wrestling even at this point, and he would come back later in the year to feud with Arn Anderson under a mask as Super Olympia. But here he and Ted DiBiase beat Mr. Wrestling 2, yes, Johnny Walker and Tiger Conway Jr., to win the Mid-South Tag Team titles. Also on April the 13th, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, at the Convention Center, and again on the weekly round-trip tour of shows in Florida, the biggest show they had each week was at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And so their biggest crowd of the week was there, and in this case it was 6,271 people. They see the NWA World Champion Ric Flair beat Barry Windham. Dusty Rhodes teams with Big Daddy and Blackjack Mulligan to beat Angelo Mosca, Kevin Sullivan, and Purple Haze, who is, of course, Mark Lewin. What a match that is. Big Dusty Rhodes, Big Daddy, but not that one, and Blackjack Mulligan defeated Angelo Mosca, yes, King Kong Mosca, CFL football-playing legend, the Devil, Kevin Sullivan, and Mark Lewin, with his head partially shaved, freshly walked up out of the ocean, Purple Haze. Wow. Adrian Street defeated Scott McGee to win the Florida State Championship. Terry Allen, our future Magnum TA, teams with Brad Armstrong to beat the Kangaroos to win the Global Tag Team titles. And this was Don Kent and Johnny Heffernan at this point in time. Charlie Cook defeated Frank Dusick by DQ. Okay, our final entry before we take our mid-show break is April 15th, Tax Day 1983. Did you file your taxes yet on Tax Day 1983? Well, the WWF was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Civic Arena. 18,000 people there. What can they possibly bore us to death with? Well, Eddie Gilbert pinned Rocky Cole. Tony Garea pinned Baron Mikel Cicluna. The Women's World Champion, Fabulous Moolah, teams with Donna Cristinello to defeat Candy Malloy and Penny Mitchell. Rocky Johnson defeated the WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco by DQ. Mr. Fuji defeated Pedro Morales by countout. That must have been a snooze fest. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Superstar Billy Graham by countout. Yes, Salvatore Bellomo defeated Superstar Billy Graham by countout. That's a real thing that really happened. And then you get a big six-man match as your main event. The WWF champion Bob Backlund teams with Jimmy Snuka and Andre the Giant to defeat Big John Studd and the Samoans, Alpha, and in this case, Samula. So we're going to take our mid-show break, come back, discuss the latter half of April of 1983 right after this.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
All right, we're back, and I hope you are enjoying our show. Again, let me remind you, if you choose to support my website, whenitwascool.com, on Patreon. We start at as low as $1. $5 gets you basically all the audio we have to offer, and we have almost 2,000 shows in our archive. On today's date, right now, today, we went through the April 1983 issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. What was in it? Did you even know the Wrestling Observer was in existence in April of 1983? Yes, Dave was putting out an Observer that looks pretty remarkably like the Observer you still get to this day. And he's going to be talking in that issue about racism concerns in wrestling. At that point in time, there was a lawsuit going on. Many of you may not even been aware of it. Out in California, there was a wrestler suing for discrimination, and Dave gives his thoughts on it. Plus, of course, all the news you would expect, all the things we're talking about. Yes, Dave goes into detail, as he always has in The Observer, and we discuss that in depth. It's dropped today right now for you if you come over to whenitwascool.com and check that out. And I greatly appreciate your support. We're really trying very hard with whenitwascool.com, and I think you'll find all kinds of stuff you love. And hey, it's more than just pro wrestling history. It's retro pop culture. That's music, TV, movies, comic books, toys, life, food, all that, retro pop culture, whenitwascool.com. All right, let's go to April 16th, 1983. Got several notes from April 16th, 83. Yeah, it was a fairly significant day here. A lot of stuff going on. Roddy Piper defeats Greg Valentine to win the NWA US title in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Coliseum. So that was a big change right there. This was a very classic era for the NWA US title. And so very, very important match there. Now, in another disputed Dusty Rhodes title reversal, the Midnight Rider, Dusty Rhodes, appears to have again defeated NWA World Champion Ric Flair for the title, this time in St. Petersburg, Florida at the Bayfront Center. But the decision was due to an official referee not counting the pinfall. So, yeah, they had already just done, and Dave talks at length about it in that Observer I was just telling you about, the Midnight Rider angle where Bob Goggle, where Midnight Rider won the NWA World title. Bob Goggle told him he would have to unmask to keep the title, and Dusty Rhodes refused to do so. Midnight Rider refused to do so and had to give the title back. And interestingly enough, and I didn't even know this, Dave actually points out that 20 years prior to that, Lou Thesz had did a similar angle. And I found that very interesting. I did not know that till going through that issue. Also on April 16th, 1983, Mid-South Wrestling holds a show at the Superdome in New Orleans. Huge crowd there, 21,400 people. We have Junkyard Dog defeats Mr. Olympia Jerry Stubbs to win the North American title in a steel cage match. David and Kerry Von Erich defeated Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts, the Freebirds. Andre the Giant defeated Kamala. Butch Reed defeated Kendo Nagasaki. Mr. Olympia doing double duty. He and Ted DiBiase defeated Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, and Tiger Conway Jr. Chavo Guerrero beat Wild Bill Irwin. Art Cruz defeated Kelly Kaniski. And King Kong Bundy defeated Tim Horner. That sounds like actually a pretty good card there. Also, still, April 16th, 83, in Austin, Texas, Adrian Adonis defeated Bob Sweetan to win the Southwest title. The AWA is in Chicago, Illinois. We have Brad Reagans beats Rocky Stone. Rick Martel beat John Tolos. Joyce Grable and Wendy Richter. She's going to be, you know, of course, being a big star in WWF in a couple years. They teamed together to beat Judy Martin and Velvet McIntyre. Wahoo McDaniel beat Sheik Adnan L. Casey. Mad Dog Vachon beat Jerry Blackwell by DQ. Then we get a big six-man tag team match here with Hulk Hogan and Greg Gagne and Jim Brunzell, beating Ken Patera, Jesse Ventura, and Bobby Heenan. And, hey, we get another rematch from Memphis here in Chicago. AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkle beats Jerry Lawler. Finally, April 16th, 83. Yes, we got one more show. The WWF is in Boston, Massachusetts at the Boston Garden. The attendance is 13,233. Johnny Roz beats Charlie Fulton. Salvatore Bellomo beats Jose Estrada. Eddie Gilbert and Tony Garea beat Mr. Fuji and Swede Hansen. Chief J Strongbow beats superstar Billy Graham. The WWF champion Bob Backlund beats Big John Studd. Iron Mike Sharp defeats Jules Strongbow. Goodness, what a boring match that must have been. Rocky Johnson defeats WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco by countout. Ray Stevens beats SD Jones. And Jimmy Superfly Snuka and Pedro Morales beat the Wild Samoans Afa and Samula. April the 17th, 1983 at the Omni in Atlanta. In a bull rope and chain match, Dick Murdoch and Dusty Rhodes, the Texas Outlaws, beat Ivan Koloff in the Iron Sheik. Larry Zbysko defeated Tommy Rich. Tony Atlas beat Buzz Sawyer by DQ. Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson defeated Ray Candy and Joe Lightfoot. Ronnie Garvin defeated Killer Brooks. Paul Ellering defeated Tito Santana. Brett Wayne, the future Brett Wayne Sawyer, defeated Chick Donovan. And Brian Blair defeated Pat Rose. And there's going to be, you know, you hear the team of Matt Bourne and Arn Anderson. We know they're going to come up and win the national tag team titles. And, oh, boy, do things take a twist. If you haven't heard my saga of Matt Bourne, a true crime show on him, go check out my free feed over at When It Was Cool Wrestling Podcast. That's a free show. If you want to check it out, Wow, is the Matt Bourne story a cautionary tale. April 17, 1983, also down in Orlando, Florida, Barry Windham battled NWA World Champion Ric Flair to a draw. Yeah, Ric Flair is all over the place, all over the country, all over the world in 1983. April 18, 1983, go back to Memphis, Tennessee, Mid-South Coliseum, and no World Championship match this week, and the attendance drops. Yeah, it's about half a house here, 5,468. The Ace of Spades, who is Masked Tommy Gilbert, beat Carl Fergie. Actually went to a draw with Carl Fergie, I should say. Terry Taylor and Steve O beat the Dream Machine, Torrey Graham, and Porkchop Cash by DQ. Mid-America Champion, Stagger Lee, Coco Ware, beat Bobby Eaton by DQ in a mask versus title match. Or, excuse me, a mask and title versus $1,500 cash match. The Rock and Roll Express beat the Galaxians. Again, that's Danny Davis. But this time, instead of Ken Wayne, I don't know where he was at, Jim Cornette is the tag team partner. Yes, in a match where the Rock and Roll Express's hair was at stake if they were to lose. CWA International Champion Jerry Lawler pinned Duke Myers. And then Jerry Lawler's going to wrestle again as Jerry Lawler beat both Jimmy Hart and Jim Cornette in a handicap match. But yet, there's one more match on this show. Yes, Southern champion Bill Dundee beats Dutch Mantell. Memphis is just all over the place right here at this point in time. They need to get something different going. April 21st, 1983, New Japan Pro Wrestling in Tokyo, Japan at Sumo Hall. 14,000 people in attendance here. This show was shown April 22nd, 1983 on television. Your matchups, Animal Hamaguchi beats Osamu Kido, Seiji Sakaguchi and Kingo Kimura beat Osamu Teranishi and Rusher Kimura. Kuniaki Kobayashi beat Caswell Martin. Killer Khan beat Ed Leslie. Yes, Killer Khan versus Brutus Beefcake in Japan. Akira Maeda pinned Paul Orndorff. The legendary original Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, had one of his great matches with Dynamite Kid. Went to a double countout. Riki Choshu beat Tatsumi Fujinami by countout. And Antonio Inoki beat Maso Saito by submission in a Loser Leaves Town match. Yes, they have a Loser Leave Town match in New Japan. That is actually a thing. April the 24th, 1983, and we got a few notes for you here. Following a WWF show at Baltimore, Maryland Civic Center, superstar Billy Graham is rushed to the hospital after overdosing on pills. Yes, he darn near died on this date. It was a kind of a life-changing moment for him. He starts trying to get his life back together. He was very, very depressed. He was very, very much on prescription medications at this point in time, and he darn near dies following the Baltimore, Maryland show. April 24, 1983, Jim Crockett Promotions in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Coliseum. 5,459 people are there. Ricky Harris beats Keith Larson. And these names are interesting because Ricky Harris, this is the early days of Black Bart, and Keith Larson is the brother of Don Kernodle. He is a Rocky Kernodle. Johnny Weaver defeated Masafuchi. Magic Dragon defeated Jim Nelson, your future Boris Zukov. Jake Roberts beat Sweet Brown Sugar. Yes, the original version, Skip Young. Jimmy Valiant defeated Great Kabuki. The NWA U.S. champion Roddy Piper fought NWA TV champion Dick Slater to a 15-minute time limit draw. Sergeant Slaughter and the aforementioned Don Kernodle defeated the NWA World Tag Team Champions Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, but by disqualification. Greg Valentine defeated the NWA World Champion Ric Flair, also by disqualification. Now, here's a big, big deal that happened April 24th, 1983, and I did a complete big saga of deep dive into this. In fact, if you're following along over at whenitwascool.com, Ultimate History of Wrestling, April 1983, you'll see embedded right there is the podcast. Please feel free to stream it, download it, whatever. The AWA has a historically important Super Sunday show in St. Paul, Minnesota, with an attendance of, listen to this, 28,300 people. Yep, This is very significant. This is where it appeared that Hulk Hogan won the AWA title from champion Dick Bockwinkel. But ultimately, it was taken back. It was ruled a DQ win. This is the one that most people point to. Was Hulk Hogan an actual for real AWA world champion? We'll untangle all that in the saga of Hulk Hogan, the AWA world title special. Officially speaking, Nick Bockwinkel or Hulk Hogan won the match by DQ. The other results on that same show were Vern Gagne and Mad Dog Vachon beat Jerry Blackwell and Sheik Adnan LKC. Ken Patera and Jesse Ventura and Blackjack Lanza beat Greg Gagne, Jim Brunzell, and Rick Martel. Jerry Lawler was on that show also. He beat John Tolos. Wahoo McDaniel defeated, back from Japan, Ed Boulder. Yes, Bruce Beefcake is returned from New Japan. Brad Reagans defeated Tom Stone, and a ladies' tag team match of Joyce Grable and Wendy Richter defeating Judy Martin and Velvet McIntyre. April 25th, 1983, get your monthly Madison Square Garden show. WWF in New York City at Madison Square Garden, and I don't have the attendance for this one. Surprise, usually we've got pretty solid attendance figures for these, but for whatever reason, I don't have this one. But what we did get was Eddie Gilbert beat Jose Estrada. Salvatore Bellomo defeated Baron Mikel Cicluna. Mr. Fuji beat SD Special Delivery Jones. Iron Mike Sharp beat Johnny Roz. Pedro Morales defeated Swede Hansen. Ray Stevens beat Tony Garea. Jimmy Snuka defeated superstar Billy Graham. Yes, he come back, but he's in no good shape. He's in no good place. And this is the last Madison Square Garden match for superstar Graham for the next 4 years. Yes, it wouldn't be until he returned later on, in where he had the hip replacement and managed Don Morocco for a while. Billy Graham's gone from Madison Square Garden for 4 years after being a fixture, you know, back in the 1970s, and then this little Kung Fu era comeback here. Rocky Johnson defeated WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco by countout. WWF Tag Team Champions, this is, I guess, Substitution Champions, Afa and Samula. Sika's out injured, by the way, in case you couldn't figure that out. He's out injured, but he'll be back fairly soon. They beat Chief J and Jewel Strongbow. Andre the Giant beat Big John Studd by countout. And WWF Champion Bob Backlund defeated Ivan Koloff. Also on April 25th, 1983, at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis. And hey, this one falls below our threshold. We're under 5,000 fans now at the Mid-South Coliseum. 4,667 fans, but we do get a title change on the show. Fabulous One, Steve Kern and Stan Lane defeated the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, to win the held-up Southern Tag Team titles. April the 28th, 1983, the Iron Sheik defeated Ronnie Garvin for the NWA National TV title at the Omni in Atlanta. April 29th, 1983, Dr. D. David Schultz defeated the AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel by DQ in Calgary, Canada. So another loss there by Nick Bockwinkel, but keeps the belt. And then our final note for April of 1983, Ron Bass defeats Frank Dusick for the Southern Heavyweight title. This is the Florida version, in Fort Myers, Florida. So a very eventful April of 1983, a very good, really fun-filled April of 83. It has that big Hulk Hogan, you know, looks like he won the world title but didn't win the AWA world title deal. Hogan's going to be spending a lot of time in Japan coming up before, ultimately, as we all know, in the latter part of this year, surfacing in the WWF, where he's going to, take a quote injured Bob Backlund's place against the Iron Sheik and win the WWF Championship in January 1984. The wrestling world changes from there out. Yes, Vince McMahon is going to be taking over the wrestling world. Lots of stuff happening. I mean, just tons of stuff. Really, it's a from here, you know, 1983, from about where we are now until 1989. I mean, it's just tons of stuff. It's wrestling's on fire. Wrestling is super, super popular. It is mainstream popular. It is pop culturally relevant. T-shirts, action figures, all that. And we'll be talking about all that stuff. We'll be talking about, you know, the action figures when they came along. We'll be doing every bit of that stuff. So stick around. I've already done a lot of that over at When It Was Cool, where that's one of the things we talk about too. But coming up the next time we roll around on our rotation of shows to this, man, we got big shows down in Mexico. We got over 20,000 people down in Mexico. Just all kinds of stuff. This is really a red hot period we're entering here for pro wrestling. And thankfully now we've got the Wrestling Observer newsletter being published monthly to kind of fill in some of the gaps as different people jump between different promotions and stuff. And Dave gives his analysis of why he thinks certain people are going certain places, who is, you know, putting on good matches and who isn't. Obviously, he's all over the Tiger Mask, Dynamite Kid stuff from Japan. He's a huge fan of that style of wrestling. And so really all kinds of great stuff to learn about that and some of these issues of the Observer. He's not so much a WWF fan, I'll tell you that. But good grief, look at these shows. You know, how could anyone be? These shows are largely pretty terrible, but they're drawing great. I mean, they're drawing huge audiences. So for whatever reason in that part of the country, it's really working what WWF is doing. But look, Bob Backlund is getting very long in the tooth at this point. He is really lost his luster, and that's about to change and kind of overdue. But really, could it have been? I mean, it was done perfectly the way it was done, transitioning it over to Hulk Hogan. We all know how that turned out. Super great. So even though at the time it would have been great, Bob Backlund probably should have lost that championship a good, you know, at least a year before he did. But how would that have changed wrestling history? I mean, who would have went to? Could you have had a year reign by somebody like the Masked Superstar? He or Sergeant Slaughter was probably your best choice for a heel world champion during that period. Maybe Sergeant Slaughter could have run a year as heel world champion, and then Hulk Hogan comes in and beats him, and maybe wrestling's even bigger than it was then. I mean, that's a pretty doggone good scenario right there. Although, honestly, if anybody was being positioned for that, it was really the Masked Superstar was kind of being positioned, and he was in the discussion to be the transitional champion instead of Iron Sheik. But the way they worked it with the Iron Sheik and Ayatollah Blassie and all that worked very, very well. Again, you know, you can question the taste with the Iran hostage situation going on. I'm anxious to see how Dave handles that in the Observer, because that seems like something he would be very much against. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out going forward. In the meantime, again, I hope you will check out all the wrestling history stuff we have to offer over at whenitwascool.com. We really need your support over there. I'm recording this in September of 2022, and October next month, we are doing a lot of stuff involving Halloween, horror, monsters. If you like that sort of stuff, we got so much coming up next month. I mean, we put out a show almost every single day at When It Was Cool, so I'm betting you'll find something you like over there. Even if, you know, you've got your fill of wrestling shows and want something kind of different, well, hey, that's what we're there for, too. We've got lots of retro pop culture shows. So check us out. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate your support and kind words. And I'll see you here again soon with another show.
If you liked what you heard, go to whenitwascool.com.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it.
And hit that Patreon button.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go buy a new Cyndi Lauper CD and have myself a little crack.